So I read an article this week that said people generally remember about 20% of what they hear. Now, as a pastor that gets up and preaches every Sunday, hoping that people will hear it and remember it, that one sort of hurt a little bit. And I had to think, not here. Right? Definitely not here. And so Lewis has a test he's going to pass out now from our Daniel series. It's a fill in the blank. I'm just kidding. Not really. Not really. But it gets even worse when you think about attention spans, right? You know they measure attention span in seconds now, right? Not minutes, seconds. And I know it's not just in here. Chelsea and I frequently have conversations that start with something like, yes, I'm positive I told you about this. You just weren't listening. Don't elbow your spouse right now. We were supposed to be at two different parties on Friday night. I had no idea. Apparently, I should have. I was told. I just wasn't listening. I didn't remember. With my kids, we constantly have conversations where I'm telling them the same thing for the second, third, fourth, or 50th time. They just don't remember. That's why when we speak, sometimes repetition matters. When we repeat something often, the chances of somebody remembering and then doing something with the information you're sharing goes up exponentially. These past several weeks, you know we've walked through the book of Daniel together on Sunday mornings, and so this morning we're going to repeat, we're going to look back on several of the key themes from the book. This morning we're calling today Lessons from Daniel. It's our last sermon in Daniel for a little while. The second half of the book contains a lot of prophecies. We're going to gather them together with some other biblical prophecies and do a series through prophecies here in the near future. But this morning, we're going to remember. Right? We're going to repeat and look back at several key themes. If you've got a Bible, open to Daniel chapter 2, the first verse we're going to look at, and we're going to bounce around a little bit. It's in Daniel 2, verse 44. This is a central verse, a central theme to the book of Daniel. It says this, In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all of these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. We learned at the very beginning of this series that God is sovereign over kings and kingdoms, and that one day God is going to replace every earthly kingdom with his eternal kingdom. That's the central theme in the book of Daniel. In the midst of trials and hardships and heartaches that the people of God back then in the days of Daniel and the people of God today are reminded that God is in control, that God's got it, and in the end, God wins. And this morning, we're just going to remember. We're going to go back through and pull out several lessons from this series that I want to ensure are locked into our minds and hearts moving forward. And the first couple of lessons come in times of waiting, right? Lessons in waiting. These verses start at the very beginning of the book. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. What's it say? In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Remember, at the beginning of this book, who Daniel was. He was a noble young man back in Israel. He was handsome. He was strong. He was intelligent. He had a presumably bright future in front of him. And then Babylon comes. Nebuchadnezzar comes in and turns his world upside down. His country's destroyed. His king is defeated. He's exiled back to Babylon, where he's going to end up spending the rest of his life. And so for him, looking around at his new home and a teenager far, far away from everything he'd ever known, including his parents, including his family, he had to have thought, how did I get here? How in the world did I end up here? How did my life take such a dramatic turn? And he entered into this period of waiting to see what was going to become of him. And while he waited, the first lesson he learned was this: God is always at work. We need to remember that. When we're waiting, what's God doing? God's working. Remember how many times we saw that in just chapter 1? Chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. The Lord gave it, right? That's God at work. Verse 9, God gave Daniel favor and compassion. No reason he should have had favor or compassion from anybody in Babylon. How did it happen? God was at work. God gave it. Verse 17, God gave these four youths learning and skill and literature and wisdom. And to Daniel, he gave understanding and visions and dreams. God's working. Right throughout the entire scenario, God's at work. God's in complete control. When Babylon surrounded the people of God, the kingdom of Judah, God didn't panic. Right? He knew it was going to happen. In fact, he had told the people of Judah years before that if they continued to disregard and disobey his word, this was going to happen. God's at work. But also in the waiting, remember this. Sometimes we get to see God's work, and sometimes we don't. This is a little bit harder for us to grasp, but we never fully realize what God is up to, what we just can't. It's a great quote from John Piper I've shared before. God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you might be aware of three of them. Think about where Daniel saw God work. Chapter 3, Daniel saw God deliver his friends from the fire, or he saw God pull him out. Chapter 4, Daniel saw God take Nebuchadnezzar's heart and make a true believer out of him. Nebuchadnezzar surrendered to God in chapter 4. That's a miracle in itself. Daniel got to see that with his own eyes. Think about the lion's den, right? Daniel went into the lion's den. He sees hungry lions with their mouth open, and he sees God at work as an angel comes in and closes the mouths of the lions. Daniel got to see God working. And sometimes we get to see God working too. And I just want you to understand this morning that when you are able to recognize at least partially what God is up to, that is a major blessing in your life. Right, that to see God moving in your life, in your family, in your church, in your community, that's God's grace. And we should never take it for granted. In fact, it should lead us to worship. Because listen, there's going to be times where we're waiting and we have no idea what's going on. There's going to be times where we're waiting and we can't see where God is at work. And listen, waiting is nobody's favorite thing, right? Anybody in here just exude patience? Anybody in here great at waiting? Listen, I'd argue that most of us probably stink at it, right? We're not very good. We don't even like to wait for somebody to text us back, right? We get impatient. We want to know right away. But listen, in life, we've got to remember that when we're waiting, God is working. Sometimes we get to see. Sometimes we get to hear how he's working. But sometimes we don't. Daniel saw a lot, but Daniel just saw the tip of the iceberg. God was up to infinitely more than Daniel ever could have imagined in his life. All of those prophecies that Daniel got to share that pointed to Jesus, there's no way that Daniel could have fully grasped how God would use that. The way that God worked through Daniel in the country of Babylon, that there's no way Daniel could have understood or comprehended in his lifetime all that God would do. Think about his influence, right? The influence of Daniel led to King Cyrus later sending people back into Israel. It was his influence that led to the rebuilding of the wall under Nehemiah and then reestablishing Israel as a nation. This is crazy. Think about this. Right, God's working. God's working through Daniel. He doesn't see it. He doesn't always know it. But his influence on theology and on astrology in Babylon more than likely led to the wise men coming generations later looking for the king that was born in Bethlehem, King Jesus. Daniel's influence in Babylon could be why there's wise men in your nativity set that some of you pulled out way too early again this year. Daniel never could have known that was going to happen. Daniel didn't see that happen in his lifetime. But while he was waiting, God was working. Same's true in your life. You might be walking through something right now, waiting in the midst of something right now, and you have no idea what God's up to. Be encouraged that even when we don't see it, God is working. Next, I want us to remember our lessons from worship. From the book of Daniel, our lessons in worship. We saw very clearly that what has your heart has your worship. What has your heart is going to have your worship. The great example here is in chapter 3. Flip over to chapter 3 with your Bible open. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's friends, are there. The king calls everyone together out on the plains. There's that big idol that's set up. Everyone's commanded to bow down and worship the idol that he created, which was essentially a call for the people to worship the king himself. And these three young men, they had a choice, right? There's no middle ground for them. They're going to worship the king, or they're not going to worship the king. And in the end, it came down to what was in their hearts. And when you read the story, it's pretty clear that the Lord is first and above all in their hearts. It's pretty clear that they lived out Deuteronomy chapter 6, that they loved the Lord their God with their heart, soul, and strength, because even with the threat of death, they refused to worship anyone but their heavenly Father. And what's true for them is true for me and you. Right? Well, whatever is number one, whoever is number one in our hearts gets our time, our attention, our focus, our resources, our best. And just like Babylon then, our Babylon today constantly tempts us to give in and to give our hearts and our worship and our best away to some things or some ones that are not eternal. And listen, the loud voices in our culture right now, they are not telling us to worship a statue. I want you to think about this. The loud voices in our culture today are telling us to worship ourselves. Our culture has become so self-focused, so self-centered. The messages, the voices used in our culture today are, you deserve this. You've earned this. Take care of yourself. Treat yourself. Listen, I want you to think about this. We've never been more focused. Never been more focused on self-care as a culture. And at the same time, we've never struggled with the unbelievably high lack of fulfillment and lack of joy as a culture. Be careful there. Do not elevate yourself to a position in your heart that's reserved only for God. Ensure that you love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and strength. And when you do, he alone will get your worship. And here's what we see in Daniel. Right? What has your heart has your worship. In every chapter, we see someone truly encounter God. God gets a hold of their heart. God gets ultimately their worship. And then the second lesson we learn from all of that is our worship multiplies. Right? When we worship the Lord, when we truly worship the Lord, that multiplies out into the lives of people around us, right? Chapter by chapter, faithful followers of the Lord, worshiping the Lord, result in more people worshiping the Lord, right? We impact the people that are around us, right? We don't live in a bubble. Bubble boy, Seinfeld, anybody? The card says moops. Okay, listen, sorry. Forget that. I'm a nerd. Just understand. We're not in bubbles. Our lives impact other people. Dads, let me tell you a story really quick. The way that you live, the way that you worship, has a direct impact on the direction of your family and the worship of your family. Got a great example of that in here. He doesn't like me to point him out, but I'm going to anyway. I think I got a picture of him that we can put on the screens. It's me and my friend Paul Kidney. Right, a lot of you know Paul. Right, think about a story. Right, Paul retired from the NYPD, moved down to Houston, and what happened? God got a hold of his heart. God got his worship. He began worshiping the Lord with his heart, soul, and strength. He got saved. He got baptized. He joined the church. What happened after that? His wife did. What happened after that? His kids that lived at home did. What happened after that? His kids that moved down from New York got saved, trusted in Christ, and were baptized. What happened after that? His grandkids are getting saved and trusting Christ and becoming a part of the church family. We talked about it this morning. He said, it never should have been this way, right? Never should have been this way, but God got a hold of his heart and it changed everything. The entire trajectory of his family, not just his family, but the generations that are coming after him and his family. Why? Worship multiplies. Right, what God does in our heart, when he gets our heart, it can't be contained in our heart. It spills out to the people around us, to the people that are close to us. Dads, what direction are you leading your families? Moms, you too. Grandparents, you too. Right, all of us Big family, little family, no family. We have an impact on the people around us. When we live a life that worships the Lord, people around us are going to start doing the same thing. Next, from Daniel, we need to remember lessons in wisdom. First one's critical here. Our worldview shapes our lives. Our worldview, the way that we think, the way that we believe, it shapes what we do. We see it in chapter 1, verse 8. Look back at chapter 1. Right when Daniel gets to Babylon, what does he do? It says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. That's saying Daniel is saying that he will not sin before his God, not when it comes to the king's food or the king's drink or anything else. He was resolved to live according to the word of God no matter what. That the words of the Lord, that they're the lens, right? They're the lens by which he viewed his life. They're the lens by which he viewed every situation he was going to face. His worldview, meaning what he believed with his mind and believed in his heart, that shaped his life in Babylon. And listen, that was a big deal because the culture in Babylon, the school that he was put into in Babylon, it worked hard. It worked hard to change his beliefs and remake and reshape him. And Daniel had a choice. And like Daniel had a choice, you and I have a choice where we can hold fast to the word of God. Or we can be shaped and molded by the culture around us. And let me just say that you can't have a biblical worldview. I can't have a biblical worldview like Daniel did without reading the Word of God. Right? It just can't happen. So get in the Word of God. Right? Parents, get your kids in the Word of God. There's no doubt Daniel's parents raised him with the Word of God. His very name, Daniel, it means God is my judge. The way they named him from his birth, right? That they were pouring the Word of God into him. And listen, let me just say that if you've got kids living at home, that there's no way they can navigate the Babylon they live in today with a biblical, God-shaped worldview if you, moms and dads, don't have a biblical, God-shaped worldview. You have to lead the way when it comes to knowing and reading the Word of God. And as we navigate cultural issues and situations and questions, the phrase that needs to be on repeat in our own mind and heart, and the phrase that needs to be on repeat in our home is a very simple phrase. What does the Bible say about that? Right? Kids are going to ask questions. Teenagers are going to ask questions. Other people are going to ask questions. And we have to point them to what the Bible says about it. Listen, our kids need us to have our hearts and our minds right. Our kids need us to see us constantly going back to the Word of God to answer our questions, to make our decisions, to shape our hearts, to lead our families, and to answer their questions. It all goes back to the Word of God. Daniel's heart and mind was shaped by the Word of God. Let's commit to ensuring our worldview is shaped by the Word of God as well. Second lesson and wisdom we need to remember is this. We are who God says we are. We are who God says we are. People talk a lot about identity, how we view ourselves. Daniel and his buddies, they went into Babylon. The culture, right, immediately tries to change them. Remember, they went into that school that was going to indoctrinate them. And then their names. What happened to their names? Their names were changed. What an accident. Changed from biblical names that honored God to names that were honoring to false gods and the idols of Babylon. The country of Babylon attacked who they were at their core. And listen, while no one today is trying to change our name, the same thing's happening. Identity is a huge issue for believers. The world tells us our value is in our looks or achievements or relationships or wealth or accomplishments and much, much more. But God's told us that our identity, who we are at our core, is in Him and Him alone. John chapter 1. We're called children of God. That's who we are. Or I think they have a graphic they can put on the screen. I shared this several weeks ago, just who we are in Christ over and over and over again through God's Word. I had a lot of people say they couldn't write those down fast enough. We've got to print it out. You can grab one on your way out. Just stick it in your Bible. Every time you open up your copy of God's Word, you can remind yourself of who you are as a follower of of Jesus. And our final note on wisdom, we've got to remember is when we need wisdom, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Daniel chapter 6, remember? The king's just signed a law that says whoever prays to anybody but the king would be thrown into the lion's den. So right away, Daniel finds himself in a pretty challenging situation. What's the first thing he does? He prays. Daniel 6:10. When Daniel knew this law had been signed, he went to his house. His windows were open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees and he prayed. He gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. When we face tough situations, tough choices, confusing times, distressing times, the first step is always the same. We go to the Lord in prayer. Everyone in this room right now has something going on in their lives. Whatever it is right now that you're facing, commit it to prayer. Don't hope and wish. Stop and pray. A lot of lessons to remember in waiting, lessons in worship, lessons in wisdom. But finally, this morning, there's one more we need to remember. We need to remember the lessons we learn in witness. And when I say witness, here's what I mean. I mean the message that we tell people around us by how we live. Right? All of our lives are telling a story. All of our lives are pointing people to something that ultimately is bigger than us. Very easy, tangible example. Right, if you were to walk out into the lobby after the service and see somebody wearing a maroon shirt, if you saw they had an Aggie ring on their hand and you heard them whooping in general conversation, they're telling you a story with their life, right? What are they telling you? They're telling you they went to the greatest university in the world, right? They're telling you a story. Right, but on a much deeper level, I'm just telling you now. The way that we live, every single one of us, doesn't matter how old we are, the way that we live is pointing people to Jesus or it's not. There is no middle ground there. We're either pointing people to Jesus with the story we're telling with our lives or we are not. So remember to live a life that honors the Lord. That was Daniel's first decision in Babylon. Chapter 1, verse 8, he resolves he's not going to sin. He's not going to live in a way that dishonors the Lord. Right off the bat, he draws this line in the sand. If you know your Texas history, who drew that first line in the sand? Nobody knows your Texas history. William Barrett Travis, right? Alamo, lieutenant colonel, commander of the Alamo, right? He sends out that letter, right? In the days before the final battle, here's the last sentence in his letter. He says, I'm determined to sustain myself as long as possible, like a soldier who never forgets what is due his own honor and that of his country, victory or death. William Barrett Travis, lieutenant colonel and commander. He was holding strong. And the legend goes, as he sends the letter out, he draws a line in the sand. He says, listen, if you're committed to staying here and holding strong, staying here and continuing the fight, join me on this side of the line. That was their turning point, right? A decision was made once they crossed the line that they could not go back. Right when they got to Babylon, that's what Daniel and his friends did, that they made a decision. They drew a line in the sand and they decided they were going to honor the Lord no matter what. With the Alamo, it was victory or death. With Daniel, it was obedience to the Lord or death. And their decision to honor the Lord, it had an effect on the people around them. Think about how God used their witness in Babylon. Chapter 2. Their God-honoring lives led to the king declaring the glory of God to the entire kingdom. And chapter 3, when they had drawn that line in the sand and they chose to be thrown into a fire rather than worship anyone but their heavenly Father. All of the nations that were gathered there in front of that idol that day, what happened to them? They heard the name of the Lord proclaimed. They saw the work of the Lord as those young men were pulled out of the fire. And chapter 4, their resolve to live a life honoring to God led to Nebuchadnezzar's heart change, right? In that chapter, he genuinely became a follower of the Lord because they refused to live in any other way than a way that would honor him. And chapter 6, Daniel had a line in the sand. He was going to continue praying to his God. He knew that that's what God called him to do. He drew the line. He's thrown in the lion's den because of it. What happened? Well, the king that pulls him out sends this sermon, right, declaring the everlasting and eternal kingdom of Daniel's God to the far corners of the kingdom. Listen, all of this happened very simply because people who loved God lived for God. So if you love God with your heart, soul, and strength, we're reminded in the book of Daniel to live for him, to tell people the story of Jesus by how you live your life. And students, when you go to school, you use a language that honors God. Just use your words and build people up, encourage one another. When you go to work this week, have a God-honoring work ethic. Be honest, be sincere, love people well. In your neighborhood or where you live, show hospitality. Take an interest in other people's lives. Meet needs. Don't give in. Don't give in. Don't go along with the crowd when the crowd is clearly not honoring to Jesus. Remember, godliness is not an accident. Decide now that your witness, the story you are telling with your life, decide that it's going to point people to Jesus. And then our final lesson and witness is this. Be hopeful in the Lord. Be hopeful in the Lord. Remember this book of Daniel, it's a story. It's a message of hope to who? Well, first and foremost, to the nation of Israel, as they lived in a land that was not their home. Remember what they faced, that they faced the fire, they faced the lions, they faced unpredictable and brutal kings, and in every chapter, they were reminded God is sovereign and God can deliver his people. And just like God was with them then, God's with us now. It's a promise that's made throughout the Bible. And it does not change when life gets hard. If you just sort of walk around and talk to people, you know there's no shortage of people walking around today that have no hope. They look at the economy. They look at the decay of our culture. They look at the mess that is politics and government. They watch the news night after night after night. And you know what happens? They let their minds go to this place of despair, this place of hopelessness. Remember this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, you should just exude hope. Right? It should flow from you no matter what's going on in this world because you have the hope of the gospel in you. Right? That's the major theme of Daniel. God's sovereign over kings and kingdoms, and one day he's going to replace everything we see with his eternal kingdom. And listen, we get to be a part of it. Right? That sentence right there gives us everything we need to be hopeful. The everlasting, eternal kingdom of God, it's coming because of Jesus. And because of Jesus, if we've trusted in him, we get to be a part of it. Romans 15:13. Says this, may the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Listen, every day, do you wake up like Daniel in a place that is not your forever home? Live with hope. Let that hope fill you with joy and peace. Let that hope be in your words. Let that hope be in your life. Let that hope tell the story of Jesus to an increasingly hopeless world. Would you pray with me this morning? As we bow our heads, I just want to encourage you just to offer up a simple prayer to the Lord and say, God, help me remember. God, help me remember your word. God, help me remember the lessons we learned in Daniel. Maybe you need to say, God, help me to remember the lessons in the waiting. God, just remind me that as I wait, you're working. Maybe that's where you're at right now. That's a reminder you need this morning. Ask God to help you remember he's always working. Maybe you need to be reminded of lessons in worship. And you just need to commit this morning, Lord, above all else, you have my heart. Maybe it's lessons in wisdom. And you just need to pray this morning, God, help me to have a worldview that's shaped and formed by your word. Or maybe you need to remember your witness. Heavenly Father, just ask him. Say, God, help me tell your story. Help me point people to the love of Jesus with how I live live my life. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. God, I pray that we remember it. God, not so we can say we know it, not so we could write it down somewhere or to impress anyone. God, I pray that we'd remember it so we could be careful to do it. God, you tell us in your word to remember it, to know it, to read it, to live it, so we could be careful to do it. God, I pray we'd be a church family that doesn't just hear, God, but that lives it out. And as we do, Lord, I pray that your message of hope would be shared, be spread to the community around us every single day. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said,